34th Psalm for tonight. What I want to speak about, this psalm in particular, David was on the run for his life. David was being hunted and hounded by the enemies on every hand. When I saw a headline a few moments ago before I came into the sanctuary that said, "The world is on lockdown." The world is on lockdown all over the world for tonight. And I could not help but think, as the enemy right now that's creating the distress of nations with perplexity, as men's hearts are beginning to fail them in this period of time in our life, I could not help but think that we look at this situation in our world tonight as an enemy out there at large. David understood what enemies were. David realized as he ran from cave to cave, as he would run in hiding from King Saul. In fact, he was running, he was hiding, and the backdrop for Psalm 34, he was running, he was hiding, he wound up in Philistine territory. You will remember David had killed Goliath. Goliath was Goliath of the Philistines. And so when David wound up in the wrong territory, somebody began to say, "Isn't he the one that killed Goliath?" And immediately David realized he was in great distress. He was in great trouble. And so David, according to the book of 1 Samuel, is where the story is recorded, David began to act as if he were insane. And it was through his faking insanity that the king of Gath, his name was Achish, here in the psalm, it's mentioned as Abimelech. Critics love to point out what they think are contradictions in the Bible. Little did they know that the word Abimelech stood for the king of a nation, just as the Pharaoh stood for a title. It was a title that was given for a specific a position in a nation. And so when critics look at it and they go, "Well, this is speaking about Abimelech, and the king of Gath was Achish." Well, they have to understand that was his name, but his title was Abimelech. So in the 34th Psalm, this psalm is where David is running. He's hiding. He's been in Philistine territory. He has had to act as if he is insane because his enemy is dogging his steps. And when the king here of Gath looked at David, even in his fakery of insanity, the king didn't want to deal with anybody who is crazy. And so he sent David on his way. And David once again escaped death. And he writes and he pens these words, "I will bless the Lord at all times." I want you to know, Christians all over the world today, we ought to be blessing the God of the heavens. Amen. We ought to be blessing the Lord even during the tough times, even when the enemy is dogging every step that we have. We need to lift up our eyes from the hills from whence comes our help, as the psalmist said in the 121st Psalm. We need to understand that God is in control of all of life's situations. That David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." David is in praise. He's in adoration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And notice he said, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you praise the Lord? You see, it's easy to praise God when life's going well, isn't it? It's easy to praise God when the enemy is not lurking at your feet. It's easy to praise God when the stock market's going crazy and going high. It's easy to praise God during the good times of life. But let me tell you, once you have a problem that becomes your enemy, sometimes as Christians, we faint and we grow weary. And we fail to praise the Lord. I will praise Him. Bonnie, I could not help but thinking a few moments ago, as Kim Watson was singing, "Your Grace Still Amazes Me," all of a sudden I thought of Cotton Rogers. Bonnie's precious father, a preacher for many, many, many years, one of the greatest, boldest witnesses that I've ever known. He and Beulah were wonderful, wonderful, wonderful examples of the testimony of the living Christ. And I want you to know he was a prayer warrior. He and Beulah were prayer warriors. And I want you to know, when I think about them tonight, it challenges me as a Christian that in the good times and in the bad times and in the tough times of life, that praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, would continually be in my mouth. So oftentimes we look around and people become so disheartened and so disillusioned and so distraught and so distressed with life. But I want you to know God is not forgotten. God has not left us. The Bible says he's a very present time and he's a very present help in time of trouble. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Aren't you grateful once you get Jesus in your heart, he's always there to stay? David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I love that. It's in one of the songs we sing, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Tonight, all over the world, where people are struggling with panic, I want you to know there's a peace that rules and reigns within the heart of Christians everywhere, because the peace of God passes all of human understanding with what's going on in the world tonight. Let us tonight exalt his name to the heavens as we have gathered together. David said in verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord. A lot of people are seeking. We sing an old hymnal back in the old Broadman days. Seeking for me. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that need to be seeking the Lord tonight. But I want you to know the Bible says, David said, I sought the Lord. Where could I go? Where could I go? Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Let me tell you, where do you go when there's trouble on every hand? David said, I sought the Lord. Let me tell you, he sought the Lord with all of his heart. He sought the Lord with all of his soul. He didn't just stop to pray just a prayer and then move on with life. He really sought God out. He had a great need in his life. He had been freed from the king of the Philistines. And so he's grateful, he's thankful, he's in praise, he's in adoration. I sought the Lord, notice, and he heard me. Let me tell you, there's not a prayer that does not go unnoticed by God. Let me tell you, he knows when we pray. His answer may be no. His answer may be yes. His answer may be wait. His answer may be immediate. It may not be immediate. But let me tell you, God answers prayer. We sing that little chorus, God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer is at noon. God answers prayers in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Let me tell you, David's heart was in tune. He sought the Lord. Notice, and God heard him. And what did God do? God delivered me. David said, God delivered me from all my fears. Let me tell you, when he had to pretend to be insane down there in Philistine territory, I mean, David could have been killed. His life could have ended right there. But let me tell you, the God of all comfort, the God, the Creator, looked down upon his created, his anointed. He delivered David, he said, from all my fears. And then if you will notice in the next verse, verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord, and by the way, that phrase, the angel of the Lord, in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord usually referred to the pre-incarnate Christ who would show up during the days of the Old Testament. And that's what theologians would call a theophany, a pre-incarnate picture of Christ. But in Psalm 34 and 35, the angel of the Lord is only mentioned three times in all of the Psalms. But notice in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Now I want to stop there for just a minute. The angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, notice he encamps all around those who fear him. The word fear is speaking of the reverence, the awe that we have of Almighty God. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. I don't know about you, but when I pray every night, one of my prayers every night is, I pray, Lord, let your angels encamp around all of my family. I pray, Lord, let your angels encamp about all of New Hope's family. I pray, Lord, let your angels encamp around this hallowed ground out here. And for those of us who have been here since day one, we know how this all came about. We know how God opened up and provided the land. And we know that we were looking at some land back up in a field up this way. And as several of us that were on that building committee, and I remember I looked over in this field and I said, guys, this is where God wants the church. Right out there in the middle of 42nd Street, God spoke to my heart and said, this is the property where the church needs to be, visible to this bypass out here. God worked out all the details through several months. And I want you to know, I believe in praying, Lord, let your angels encamp about me. What about your children? Do you pray, Lord, let your angels encamp about my children? Lord, let your angels encamp about my grandchildren and keep them safe from the enemy that's lurking out there in the world today against them through social media, through the internet, and through all types of things they deal with, through bullying and all of the various things that are at their disposal today. I believe that if more Christians, more families joined together and would unite their hearts and seek the Lord and pray, Lord Jesus, let the angel of, you don't know how many of you throughout the weeks of, in my prayers at night, as the Holy Spirit brings you to my mind, I pray specifically, Lord, let your angels encamp around so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And most of the times, it will be about the widows here in this church. It'll be about people that are by themselves. And many of you have been, I've awakened in the middle of the night, and I've specifically called your name in prayer and asked for the angel of the Lord to encamp about you. Let me tell you, David understood that, and he spoke about that in verse 7, realizing that it was certainly true in his own life. And then verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If all the world tonight were to pick up the word of God and taste and see the wonderful works of the Lord, let me tell you, it would be a different world tonight. It would be a whole different deal tonight. Let me tell you, with the coronavirus all over the world tonight, it would be absolutely incredible if all the peoples of the world who know the Lord Jesus Christ and would commit themselves in covenant together and pray for what's going on in the world tonight, there would be a peace that would overwhelm each one of us, as Kim sang about. His grace still amazes me. Verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, that word blessed means happy, is the man who trusts in him. Let me tell you, I'm not trusting tonight in the coronavirus. I'm not trusting tonight in the fears of the world. I'm not trusting tonight in the pandemic that's going on all over the world and that the world has become crippled tonight. I read an article just this evening that said something had been leaked that the UK might be on lockdown for at least 8 months. I can't even comprehend that. When I look around, nothing like this has ever happened in my lifetime. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. He speaks about how the lioness takes care of her cubs. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And then I love verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. I want you to think about all the broken hearts all over the world today. According to the statistics on the mortality rate, the mortality scale out there, 155,252 plus will die today before midnight. From midnight last night to midnight tonight, 155,253 souls will die, and they'll go out into eternity to one of two places tonight. I want you to think about all of the broken hearts tonight, all over the world, worldwide. The broken hearts. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves, notice this, and saves such as has a contrite spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of the living God tonight is searching throughout the world. The Holy Spirit moves upon the heart who has a contrite spirit. I want you to think about the untold millions tonight in the world who have hearts that have been hardened toward the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know, for anyone, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me tell you, if you want to get saved, the Holy Spirit of the living God will move upon your heart and bring you to a place of contrition. And David says, he saves such as have a contrite spirit. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. No wonder Jesus said, in this world you'll have trials and tribulations, but be not overcome. I've overcome the world, Jesus said. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Aren't you grateful tonight that when you stand before the Lord someday, it will not be a time of condemnation? It will not be a time of condemnation, because we have passed from death unto life. And I love that verse. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Aren't you grateful tonight for the Creator, the Lord of heaven and earth? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Would you stand as we pray? We're not going to have an invitation. We're going to close our service tonight with these four guys coming. Keith will be first, Daryl will be second, Daddy will be third, and Tom will be fourth on the things that the Southern Baptist Convention has asked us specifically to pray for. If you guys will come down and take the microphone and pray specifically for the needs that we mentioned a few moments ago, and to remember the world crisis at this time. So Keith, would you lead us in our closing prayers? This will close our service for this evening. Be sure and remember, there will be no services in here Wednesday night. They're not finished with lighting, and we want to give them one more Wednesday night to get everything completed for us. Keith, would you start us out?
Dear Lord, we come to you right now, and Father, we acknowledge you as the divine healer. We know that you have the power and to take care of this virus, and I pray, Lord, as this epidemic goes worldwide, through our nation, through our state, that, Lord, that it will turn hearts and souls to focus on you. And I pray that our nation will become a praying nation again, and give you the glory and the honor for taking care of us. Lord, for those that have already been afflicted, I just pray that you'll help them through the illness. We know it has a good recovery rate, and I just pray that you'll help everyone that has it and those that are affected to recover fully from it. For asking thy name.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this day and or this wonderful privilege that we have to come to you in prayer. We pray, Father, that you would give us the strength to turn these matters over to you and to let your will be done in each of these situations. We lift up to you our president, our vice president, our elected representatives and senators. We just pray, Father, that you would bless them with the wisdom, the patience, the calmness that they need to lead us through these difficult times. We pray for our governor. We pray for all of our elected officials. We pray for our school leaders, our teachers, as they go through this serious problem. We just pray that you would be with them and give them a calmness, give them a strength that can only come from you. We pray that you would just lead and guide them as they steer us through this difficult situation, and just help all of us to keep our eyes focused on you. These things we ask in Jesus' name.
Lord, as our world and our country is in a spirit of fear, I think about your scripture. I think about the scripture that Randy spoke of this morning in 2 Timothy 1:7. For you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Lord, I pray as Christians in this country and countries around the world that we'd stand on that promise, Lord. Lord, also I think of scripture in Psalms 91:1, where as Christians that call on the Most High, live in the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, we're in your presence. If we call on you and if we're one of yours, we're in the presence of the Almighty. And then I think about Psalms 139 and 16, where it talks about how you knew us before we was ever created. Before we were ever in existence, you've planned out our days. That doesn't just speak for me as an individual, for us as individuals, but as the world, Lord. You knew this day would be here a long time ago. And Lord, help us as Christians to live in a spirit of strength and power and love and a sound mind and not in a spirit of fear. Help us to live in that way that those that don't know you, that those that are in fear and panic would see a calm and a peace in our hearts and our lives, Lord. Help us to be what you'd have us to be. And Lord, take this fear out of the world and take control of our lives in this situation. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and ask these things. Amen.
Father, your word teaches us if we love you, we'll obey you. We'll follow your commands. And we know one of those great commands that you've taught us is that we're to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. And we thank you for those that you've called out to be missionaries to do just that task. And we're grateful that we can be a part of a great kingdom effort and that we can help and support all of those who do go throughout the world medically, educationally, spiritually, to teach and to preach and to cause salvation to come to those who are lost. We pray tonight for every missionary on the field that you'll bless their families. We thank you for their education and their preparation and for the call that you've issued to them to preach the gospel, because we know that that's the way that we're saved. We just pray that you'll protect them and guide them and direct their lives, and that you'll help us to be faithful to support and to pray for all of those who are on the mission field tonight. May they be blessed. May they honor you in all that they do. Help us to serve you and to love you and to be patient with each other, that we'll honor you in all that we do, that you'll bless our lives because we love you and we obey you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.